Chapter 1.
Careful, we don't want to fuck up and get caught again, Teo whispered as muffled voices bickered inside his backpack. Finally released from his usual stint in detention, Teo was eager to put the plan he'd spent the last 2 days concocting into action. Bracing himself, he jogged across the street to where the target of today's prank loomed. The academy advertisement was unavoidable, plastered on a brick wall of the school. In large gold letters, it read, "Come see the academy's best compete in the Sunbearer Trials." Tall figures stood in an arrow formation on the black background of the poster, power posing and smiling for the camera. Teo recognized the woman standing in the center as Bria, who had been crowned as Sunbearer in the last trials. Flanking Bria were other past Sunbearers, recognizable by the golden sunburst crowns they wore on their heads. It made Teo want to barf. He figured since he was forced to see it every day, the least he could do was add his own artistic flair. Unfortunately, the poster was at least as tall as Teo, who was a proud 5'10", thank you very much, and well out of his reach. Which was where Perry and Pico came in. Most people in the city of Quetzalan had a bird, but they were more than just pets. They were companions. It was a lifelong bond between bird and human. But only Teo and his mom, Quetzal, the goddess of birds, could communicate with them directly. Or, in Teo's case, occasionally team up for some light defacing of school property.
"Coast is clear. Come on out, you two,"
Teo said as he unzipped his backpack. Immediately, two birds poked their heads out.
"You remember how to use these?"
Teo asked, pulling out two of the smallest cans of spray paint he could find at the store.
"Of course," Perry chirped. "I love these," Pico said, expertly popping the cap off with his beak.
The two young caiques were Teo's partners in crime and always down to clown. They'd agreed to help Teo before he even offered up the dried mango in his backpack.
"What's the plan?"
Pico asked, tipping his head to stare up at Teo. "I think they could use some humbling," Teo said, eyeing the golds.
"Maybe some funny faces?" he suggested. "I'm open to your artistic interpretations."
"Great idea,"
they agreed before taking off.
"Try to hurry,"
Teo called after them, checking the time on his phone.
"You can count on us."
The best part of this prank was, by the time anyone found his latest work of art, he'd be long gone to Sol Temple. The Sunbearer Trials were the biggest out of all the holidays in Reino del Sol, a competition of the very best semi-dioses that kept the sun fueled and ensured the safety of their world for the next 10 years. What had started as a sacred ritual thousands of years ago was now a televised and sponsored event that took over the cities. And Teo and his mom were required to attend. As a simple jade, Teo knew there was no chance he'd ever be chosen by the omniscient soul to compete, something he was constantly reminded of by the posters that had been hung on the sides of buildings and light posts for weeks. They were all over social media too, making it impossible for Teo to escape. Like their parents, the kids of gold gods were stronger and more powerful than jade demigods. Some could produce and control elements and even move mountains. They went to a fancy academy and had fancy uniforms and got fancy training from the age of 7 to be the heroes of Sol. Whenever there was an emergency or a disaster, the golds were summoned to help. Meanwhile, Teo and the other jades weren't deemed powerful enough to attend the academy, so they got stuck going to public school with mortal kids. Quetzalan High was held together with duct tape and glue, and the only uniform Teo was ever given was awful lime green gym shorts and a gray t-shirt that didn't fit. While golds traveled around Reino del Sol saving lives, the most interesting responsibility Teo had was judging the yearly Quetzalan bird show. He was tired of every privilege golds received getting rubbed in his face. Pico and Perry used their talons to hook into the advertisement's canvas, giving them something to hold on to while they wielded the cans of spray paint and got to work.
"I'm getting good at this," Pico said, repeatedly banging his head on the nozzle as he sprayed light blue paint haphazardly across the beaming faces of the gold semidioses. Perry's focus was solely on Brilla.
When Teo asked what she was drawing, she proudly announced,
"You said to give them funny faces. Nothing's as funny looking as a cat."
"That's very clever, Perry," Teo agreed. The graffiti was messy and definitely looked like two birds had done it, but damn, was it satisfying to see those smug expressions covered in paint.
"Time for the final touch."
Teo dug into his pocket while Pico and Perry glided down to perch on his shoulders. He unfolded a piece of paper he'd scribbled on during detention.
"Can you write this across the top?" "Oh, that's a good one, son of Quetzal."
Pico chuckled before plucking the paper from Teo's hand and taking off.
"What does it say?"
Teo heard Perry whisper as she flew after Pico with her can of spray paint.
"I don't know. I can't read."
Perry held the paper while Pico tried his best to recreate the words. What Pico produced was absolute gibberish. Teo laughed behind his hand, not wanting to hurt the bird's feelings.
"That's supposed to be a loop, not a squiggle," Perry said. "It is a loop,"
Perry huffed.
"Will you fly up and show him, son of Quetzal?"
she asked.
"Don't ask him that," Pico snapped, nipping at Perry. "You know he's sensitive about his wings."
Teo pretended he didn't hear them, even as his wings flexed against their binding beneath his shirt.
"It doesn't have to be perfect," he said.
They needed to be in and out before anyone saw. The spray can hissed, coating Pico's white chest in sticky blue paint. Teo winced.
"Not so loud." "My feathers," Pico squawked, flapping his wings in dismay.
"Teo?
We've been caught. Abort, abort."
The spray cans clattered to the ground as Pico and Perry flew off, bickering all the way. As the sound of footfalls approached, Teo scrambled to grab the cans and shove them into his backpack. Dreading who he'd see, Teo turned toward the voice. Luckily, it was just Yolanda, one of the city's mail carriers, accompanied by a red lord parrot on her shoulder, who delivered letters to residents through their open windows.
"Hello, son of Quetzal,"
the bird sang with a respectful nod of his head.
"What are you still doing at school?"
Yolanda asked.
"Just running to meet Huemac,"
he said, securely yanking the zipper of his backpack shut before jogging to meet her. Yolanda pursed her lips into a knowing look.
"No, you weren't."
Teo flashed her a toothy, not at all innocent grin.
"Well, now I am?"
Yolanda chuckled and waved him off.
"Get going and try to be on your best behavior at the trials. Huemac's not as young as he used to be."
Huemac and the people of Quetzlan had raised Teo. His mortal father had died when he was a baby, and his mom was busy with the responsibilities of being a goddess, so the city had become Teo's family. Even though he was 17 now, they still looked after him, sometimes a bit too closely.
"I'm always on my best behavior,"
Teo called over his shoulder as he darted to the other side of the street.
"Spoken like a true troublemaker,"
Yolanda's voice carried after him. Every city in Reino del Sol was devoted to a god. The ones in the center were larger, nicer, and devoted to the gold greater gods like Agua and Tierra. Meanwhile, smaller cities placed on the outskirts were dedicated to jade lesser gods, like Quetzal. Teo jogged through jungle trees interspersed among buildings draped with vines. From the outside, Quetzlan looked like a city that had lost its battle with nature and had been swallowed by the dense foliage. But though it was a bit run down, Quetzlan was a proud city lovingly maintained by its people. The defining characteristic of their city was the abundance of tropical birds that dotted the trees like brightly colored fruit, They were everywhere you turned, living in happy companionship with their human counterparts. Here, people and nature were intimately and inextricably linked. Teo pushed through the crowd as he crossed a pedestrian causeway that went over one of the many canals where merchants hawked their goods from boats and canoes. As he passed the laundromat, Teo held his backpack over his head to protect himself from the gem-colored hummingbirds dive-bombing passersby who got too close to their street lamp. With the Sunbearer trials officially starting that night, the streets were filled with even more excitement than usual. Signs reading, "Watch the Sunbearer Trials Here," hung in the windows of bars and restaurants, along pictures of soul-themed desserts and drinks inspired by the Diose. A large group of people loitered outside the electronics store, watching the TVs on display. Clips of gold heroes flashed across the screens. Teo tried to sneak past without being spotted, but almost immediately, a hand caught his backpack.
Teo!
A round-faced man grinned, dragging him into the group.
Who do you think will be chosen to compete? Mr. Serrano asked, gesturing to one of the displays.
Some golds posed and smiled in their crisp uniforms alongside clips of the semidioses saving people from various disasters. Their stats were listed in the corner of the screen.
The best of the best, I guess, Teo replied, trying to sound polite through a mouthful of resentment.
Luckily, everyone present was too busy theorizing to notice.
Guerrero's kid for sure,
Miss Morales replied, scratching the neck of the lilac-crowned Amazon resting on her shoulder.
Agua's boy is far more impressive.
Ocelo could squash him in one blow. Sol doesn't only care about strength.
Teo rolled his eyes and used their arguing as a chance to slip away. He just couldn't escape them. Even kids at school swapped trading cards of the gold heroes and placed bets on who would be chosen to compete in the Sunbearer trials. They peppered Teo with questions to get the inside scoop, as if he cared enough about the golds to keep tabs. The light changed, and Teo crossed the street, dodging a man pushing his Doritos cart and a woman carrying a stack of crates. A bodega sat on the corner, nestled between a bird supply store and a spice shop. It was a short, clementine orange building with windows plastered with flyers and advertisements. Above the front door, the words El Pájaro were written in black letters next to a delicately painted mural of a quetzal. Out front, a man struggled to unload boxes from a small truck.
Whoa, let me help,
Teo said, sprinting forward to easily take all four boxes in one hand. The ability to carry more boxes than the average middle-aged man was another mostly useless power he had as a jade. The man leaned back in surprise.
Careful!
When Teo shifted the stack out of his hand, the man's eyes took him in. A wide smile split his face immediately.
Pajarito,
he greeted warmly, spreading his arms out at his sides.
Hey, Chavo,
Teo grinned. Need a hand? Chavo chuckled.
My back ain't what it used to be, he confessed,
slapping Teo on the shoulder. His shirt was cobalt blue, and he wore a matching string of tiny blue feathers around his neck.
How's it going, man?
Before Teo could answer, Chavo's face scrunched up in confusion.
Aren't you supposed to be on your way to Sol Temple?
Teo shifted another stack of boxes into his other hand.
Just swinging by to pick up my order first.
Come, come, I've already got it ready,
Chavo said, ushering him toward the bodega.
Huemac's not gonna be happy with you,
he said with an amused look. Teo snorted.
What else is new?
Late was late, and his approximate amount of lateness didn't matter. He'd be getting a lecture either way. A bell chimed as Chavo pushed through the door.
No cats,
an angry voice chirped.
Hey, Macho,
Teo said as he set the boxes down.
Macho, the tiny parrotlet, swooped down and landed on the counter.
Oh, it's just you, son of Quetzal,
he said, distractedly dipping his head to look at the door. What's got him all worked up? Teo asked as Shavo went behind the counter.
Oh, don't mind Macho, Shavo said. That stray cat's been around again.
Always sneaking in and trying to steal,
Macho shouted, blue feathers ruffling as he hopped angrily across the tobacco case.
No cats!
Shavo pulled out a large paper bag that was so packed, it had to be stapled shut.
Here you go.
You remembered the Shupa Shoops, right?
Of course,
Shavo said as he rang up the order on his ancient register.
I would never forget those.
Teo grinned. Perfect.
You weren't kidding when you said you were stocking up,
Shavo grinned. I'm going to need it, Teo told him, fishing out his wallet from his backpack. Dios Maize doesn't allow refined sugar and processed garbage in Soul Temple.
Man, what I wouldn't give to go to Soul Temple, Shavo said,
sighing wistfully as he stroked his goatee.
I've never seen a gold Dios in person.
Teo couldn't blame Shavo for being fascinated by the golds. They were rare to come by, especially in Jade Cities. They were even bigger celebrities than their semi-Dios children, famous and untouchable. All of the gods ruled from Soul Temple, and only semi-dioses and priests could make the journey to the island in the center of Reino del Sol.
I'd like to meet Dios Tormentoso and thank him and Luvia,
Shavo said, glancing back over his shoulder. Behind Shavo were two altar boxes. The larger nicho was painted in shades of turquoise and jade, with illustrations of birds in devotion to Teo's mother. Bird feathers of every color had been laid inside. The smaller, newer nicho was painted in swirls of light blue and gray, with white raindrops and yellow bolts of lightning. Taped inside was a newspaper clipping. Luvia, the eldest daughter of the weather god, Dios Tormentoso, stood in the center of the black and white picture, hands on her hips and beaming. 3 years ago, a hurricane had hit the western coast of Reino del Sol. Even though hurricanes were common in September, this one tore through the western Jade Cities, requiring the demigods of Tormentoso to be summoned. Luvia arrived in Quetzalan and managed to tame the angry storm enough to save civilians from the flooded streets, including Shavo and his wife.
I'll put in a good word if I run into them,
Teo lied as he handed over his debit card.
Are you nervous?
Shavo asked, eyebrows pinching. Teo frowned, confused.
About what?
You know, getting selected for the trials.
Oh, that?
No way,
Teo snorted as he took his card and receipt and shoved them into the pocket of his jeans.
I'm just there as a formality.
Teo had only been 7 years old during the last trials, so he didn't remember much. What he did know was that Jade semidioses were almost never chosen to compete. The last Jade had been chosen 130 years ago, and they hadn't made it out alive.
All I'm gonna do is explore the gold cities, eat as much food as I can, and blow all my money on souvenirs.
He grinned, the impending sights and travels sending his heart racing. But when he looked up, Shavo still looked worried.
Hey, only the most powerful and honorable semidioses get chosen, remember?
Teo said, bumping his fist against Shavo's shoulder in an attempt to reassure him.
I'm just a jade.
That seemed to ease the tension in Shavo's expression. He was back to his apple-cheeked smile.
Hey, it don't matter if you're gold or not. You're still our hero, patron.
Teo snatched the bag and shoved it into his already full backpack.
All right, okay, I'm out of here before I freaking barf.
Shavo laughed as Teo slapped his palm one last time.
You should stop by the panderia,
Shavo called after him as Teo bolted for the exit.
Veronica made some green concha, especially for Diosa Quetzal.
Oh, man. You know I can't pass those up, Teo said with a grin.
See you in a couple weeks,
Shavo called.
I'll literally be counting down the days,
Teo said as he slipped out the door. The bell rang behind him.
No cats!
Macho's voice followed. Teo could smell his destination before he even made it around the block. The street was crowded and filled with restaurants, food carts, and taco trucks. The sizzling scent of al pastor hung heavy in the air, tickling his nose along with the sweet smell of elote and the spicy zing of chamoy. Teo was so distracted by his growling stomach that he didn't notice anything was wrong until movement rippled through the crowd, turned heads, and raised voices. The hairs on the back of Teo's neck stood on end, and a moment later, a flock of birds tore down the street. Their screeches filled the air, making everyone stop and stare upward as their colorful feathers streaked across the sky. Teo tried to make out what they were saying, but they were all shouting at once, panicked cries tumbling over one another. A crowd of bodies surged into him, nearly knocking Teo over. That was when the sharp smell of smoke hit his nose. Teo tried to get on his tiptoes for a better look. Down the street, thick black plumes billowed from where the banderilla sat. All at once, the birds' voices became clear. Fire! Fire! Human shouts crashed with the birds' cries. The crowd surged forward again, a wave of bodies trying to get to safety. Teo had to latch onto a light pole to keep himself from being swept away.
Where's Maria?
A girl wailed. Teo searched and found a little girl crying in the middle of the street. He pushed his way through the crowd and crouched down in front of her.
Who's Maria?
Teo asked as calmly as possible, with adrenaline slamming through his body. Your sister?
My doll!
For Saul's sake. I need you to do something very scary right now, okay? He asked, squeezing her small shoulders to get her to focus on him. You need to get somewhere safe. Find someone you know, and I'll look for Maria, okay? Can you do that? The sound of cracking stones split the air. The large windows of the warehouse where the banderilla was located exploded into shards. Teo tugged the girl to his chest and crouched over her. Tiny bits of glass rained down around them. After that, she didn't need more encouragement and took off. Teo stared up at the building engulfed in flames. His heart thudded in his chest, his breath sharp and shaky. Most of the food carts in the alley ran off propane. If the fire from the banderilla got out of control, it'd be a street full of bombs ready to go off. How fast could the whole block burn down? Had anyone summoned help? An anguished scream cut through the air. Through the curtain of smoke, Teo spotted a pair of arms desperately waving for help. The frantic thoughts in Teo's brain cleared in a snap. Only one thought remained. Someone needed help. While everyone else fled from the growing flames, Teo ran toward them.